After our time of confession, it's quite natural for us to present our own personal requests to God in prayer, isn't it? But actually, one of the things that we need to make sure is that actually we don't get confused with what we want and with what we need. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 7 to 8, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him." When I was preparing for preaching at Lidlington last week, it was the first week of Lent, and so we're thinking about the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness after his baptism. And as I was preparing, I came across a book by a guy called Tony Walter, who's a lecturer in sociology at the University of Reading. And he wrote a book, it's quite an old book, it's called Need, the New Religion. And Walter puts forward this view that our culture has subtly redefined wants as needs. And as such justified our wholehearted pursuit of these things. And I think what Walter said is correct. Satan has succeeded in focusing our attention on what we don't have rather than on the sufficiency of God and on the bounty of our relationship with him. We've turned our wants into needs. Think about it for a moment. I wonder what characterizes our prayers for ourselves. Are our requests about what we don't have, or are they about praising God for who he is and for the many blessings that we have in him? Because God should be enough. Because God is all sufficient. To be found in God is to be found. It's for us to find everything that we need. And materialism dominates our society, doesn't it? Madness also dominates our society, as the world will soon run out of toilet rolls and other things like that. We don't seem to care about each other, do we? At the moment, we seem to just think about ourselves. Even in the church, we can have issues with materialism. I think the prosperity gospel is on the wane at the moment, and I think one or two preachers who were preaching the prosperity gospel have actually seen the truth and are changing their views and going away from it. But we've been led astray by Satan. We're so often led astray by Satan. And what we need to do is to let God's priorities become our priorities. What we need to do is to understand what God's will is. And we need to pray in accordance with God's will. Jesus says in 1 John 5, he says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that what we have asked, that we have what we have asked of him." So how do we pray in line with God's will? How do we pray for what we need rather than for what we want? And it all comes out of relationship. The more we know God, the deeper our relationship with him, the more intimate our relationship with him, then the more that we will know God's will. So we must love God. We must have an intimate relationship with him. But also we must love each other as well. We must live in a word-centered life. If we want to know God's will, our prayer should be centered on God's word, because that's where we can find the will of God. In Colossians, Paul writes, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." That means that we must value God's word in our lives. We've got to pray with the right motives as well. Psalmist writes in Psalm 139, "Search me, God, and know my heart. See if there is an offensive way in me." How are we going to know the will of God if our lives aren't right and there are offensive things in our own lives? If we want to know God's will, we must also, I think, pray without doubting. God is true. God is faithful to his promises, isn't he? We must believe and not doubt that he will listen to our prayers and that he will answer them in accordance with his will. We must also come in faith. In Matthew 21, Jesus says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. And we must pray for the things that God is interested in. If we examine our prayers, how many of our prayers are actually for things that are temporary? How many things do we pray for ourselves are eternal and will have eternal consequences? The problem is that sometimes our prayers are the exact opposite of the prayers of Jesus, because what did Jesus tell us to do? First, we're to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means we're to pray for God's plan and for God's purposes and not our own. And as I preached on a couple of weeks ago, we must pray with persistence. We're to keep going, aren't we? We're to keep praying with persistence, persevering in prayer and not quitting or not being dejected because we haven't received an immediate answer. And part of praying in God's will is believing that whether his answer is yes or no or wait, that we're going to accept what he says and we're going to subject ourselves to his will. And we're going to continue praying. And obviously we must pray in Jesus' name. So what I'd like us to do now is to say a prayer together, which will appear up on the screen, praying that we might know God's will. So Chris, if we could have that up. I'm sorry it's a bit on the small side. It wasn't when I did it on my screen at home. It's a bit small, isn't it? Is anybody struggling to see that? I would say move forward a bit. Well, we're just going to have to go with it. I nearly printed it out, actually. I wish I had have done. Well, we'll try. Okay? So let's say together, Lord, you knew me completely before I was born. And you shape me and destine me for a purpose. Give me a clear vision of all you want to do in and through my life. I desperately need to understand what the hope of my calling is and the exceeding greatness of your power to enable me to fulfill your purpose. Show me the gifts you have put in me and how I can develop and use them for your glory. Help me to think and pray with boldness. Sorry, I want to be open and available for whatever you have for me and not miss your blessings by being unprepared to receive them. Help me not to hold on to things that are not of you. I want to do your will with my whole heart. Only you know what is right for me. Help me to hear your voice. And give me the grace and the courage to follow your leading when I am afraid. May the desires of your heart become the desires of my heart. Enlarge my capacity to believe that you can take what I have and multiply it beyond what I can imagine. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So can I encourage you, in your quiet times this morning, to pray a very short prayer that I'm going to say. And the prayer is on the pieces of paper that's got the cross. And it's this: God, may the things that are pleasing to you be the things that bring me the greatest pleasure too. Might be on the flip side. It's on one of the sides. God, may the things that are pleasing to you be the things that bring me the greatest pleasure too. And I know that's an answer that God is going to answer yes to. And as he answers that prayer, we'll have a greater and a clearer vision of God himself. And our hearts and our lives will be drawn closer to him. Now on the table, there are some prayer request cards. And I just want to provide us with the opportunity to write a prayer for ourselves. But to write one that's in line with God's will. So I'm going to leave some time now for us to do that. And as you write that prayer, there are pencils and everything there. We're going to listen to a worship song by Wren Collective. It's called Hymn of the Ages. So just write a prayer request for yourself that is in line with God's will. And then what I'll do, I'll bring the bag around, and then we'll put all of our prayers at the foot of the cross.